We're going to continue our teaching today. I'm going to be teaching again on spiritual jurisdiction. Spiritual jurisdiction is a hugely important thing because if you don't understand these things, if you don't understand, it's just like in the natural, if you don't understand the laws and rules of the things around you, you can end up in a whole lot of trouble, even from the standpoint of being ignorant. If you go to, you know, you don't pay your taxes and things and you didn't know about it, the IRS finds out about it, they don't care if you didn't know. They're not moved by you saying, well, I didn't know that law. They're going to say, well, that, you know, don't mean nothing to us. That doesn't change a thing. You need to know spiritually it is no different. The church has always taken the idea that, you know, if you're ignorant, Al, you know, that it doesn't matter. God will just, you know, get you out of your trouble, or God will help you whether you turn around and break the rules or not. It really don't matter because He's just such a nice God. Our God is a great and wonderful God, but He's not a fool. And many times the church and Christians treat God like He's a fool. They don't take the time to find out about Him. They don't take the time to find out about how He runs things, how He does stuff. Man just makes up basically their own religions as they go along. We come along in our own ideas of how we think God operates and what we think God does, you know. Is today we have a lot of that. You know, we have so perverted in talking about the love of God has got into such perversion that man goes over here and doesn't see themselves as accountable. And they even preach that you're not. If you sin, you don't have to repent anymore. You no longer have to do that. The kingdom of God's changed. The Bible says God hasn't changed. He changes not. The rules of the kingdom of God did not change because any new covenant came along. The rules have not changed. God did not diminish holiness by sending His Son. He did not diminish righteousness by sending His Son. So you and I don't have to live holy or live righteous because He sent His Son and died for your sins. But basically, that's what the church world believes today. And that even, I mean, among the Spirit-filled people. They believe that way. They believe somehow man is now not as accountable to God. You need to understand this as a Christian. You are more accountable to God as a born-again believer than a person was under the old covenant. They did not have the Holy Ghost living in them. They did not have the teaching. They did not have the instruction that we have today. To whom much is given, much is required. The church will stand in a greater judgment than those who lived under the law. Jesus said it Himself concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. He said that Israel, in their time, because He came as a Messiah, they rejected Him. He told them the judgment was going to be greater on them than Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because they had a greater revelation. And we need to understand that today. That the church has lost this stuff. The church no longer teaches these things. They teach that grace put us in a period where we don't have to do as good or less, and we'll get blessed anyhow. It's really worked, hasn't it? You know, that's why so many Christians look back and they say, my God, Israel seemed to have it better than we do. And the reason they do, because they say, look at all the miracles and stuff. Why don't we have them today? You're going to have to live to a standard. You're going to have to follow some rules. You're going to have to follow the rules of the kingdom of God if you want the blessing of the kingdom. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us. He used to say people think that, you know, the blessings of God just fall off, you know, fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. And he said, it don't happen. Have you noticed? I've noticed the blessings don't just fall off on you. They just don't just happen just because you're a child of God. You know, and so we need to grab a hold of this. We were teaching in jurisdictions, and we talk about jurisdictions. We're talking about the rule of authority. In like, it just as like we have counties, we have, you know, townships, we have a state, we live in our nation, our entire nation. There are jurisdictions of federal law, state laws, there's local laws, jurisdictions. The kingdom of God has a jurisdiction. There are jurisdictional lines laid out. There are, there's authority within that system. There is also within that system, there's rules and regulations that you must follow. People say, well, we're not under the law. That doesn't mean you're not under rules. You're not under the law from the standpoint of the law of sin and death, but you did not leave the place of law. God established government. We read it. He established government. It says to disobey, if you disobey your leaders, it says you disobey God because He established it. So the disobedience of breaking the law, well, in the kingdom of God, most Christians treat like it's a lawless place. You just sort of do what you want, and you're just under grace, so you're covered. Whoa! That sure doesn't work. Now, we looked at the kingdom of Satan. We looked at his case. We talked about Satan. He has jurisdiction. We found this. If you get in his jurisdiction, you start operating over in his realm, he can do things to you. You need to understand that. He has the authority and the right to do it. Now, Satan is also lawless from this standpoint. He will pervert his jurisdiction. He will try, if he can, to do something to you which is illegal. You need to understand that. Now, see, I've had Christians come along to me already, and they were saying, you know, well, the devil's doing such and such to me, and I've asked them, knowing that they were doing things wrong, saying, well, what are you doing wrong? Well, they sort of had the idea, it didn't matter what I did wrong, that God ought to just take care of me. You know, Satan don't have a right to me. Satan does have a right to people. Demonic powers have a right to people. If they are not living within the boundaries of the kingdom of God, they're living over the devil's territory. They're doing his things. He has right to them. We need to understand that. It's just like if I get on a plane today and I fly to Europe. When I step off the plane of whatever country is in Europe, when I step off that plane, I may be an American citizen, but I'm under their laws. And we need to understand that. If I go do something that I get on spiritually on a plane and go over to Satan's kingdom by doing things that I ain't supposed to be doing, Satan can have a right to me. Things can start to happen to me. And if we don't get over this ignorance in the church in this area, a lot of people are under the idea, and I really believe that it's been perverted in teaching to them, that they're all right anyhow. And they've been perverted, the idea that I can get off over into things and God will take care of it anyway. God will look after it. Because we're going to look at some things, because we want to look at the jurisdictions of God, of how God has laid things out. We want to look at and answer some questions. Is there anything God cannot do? Are there any limitations to His power? Can anyone or anything stop His will from coming to pass? If we would take the natural answers to these, most of these things I was told in the church, God can just do anything. God is limitless. His power, He'll just, you don't worry about it, He'll always just do it. And when God's will is to do something, it's just going to be done. And all of that's not true. None of that's true. None of it's right. None of it's biblical. Yet, most believers believe it. Most believers believe it. And that's the big shame of it, is because it doesn't operate nor work that way. The Bible does not teach it. But nonetheless, people believe it because, you know, we get over here, we have this idea of God, and we think of God as just like, you know, the song, you know, some years back, God is in control. I know there's people singing, oh, God is in control. And I used to listen to people sing it, look at him and say, well, man, he ought to get in control in your life sometime. Wow. Things are out of control. And they sing that, people have the idea, you know, and I've heard people say, well, don't worry about this problem, God is in control. What on earth do you mean by God is in control? You think, you know, God is in control. If God is in control, I will tell you where God's in control. He's in control in heaven. Is there anything bad happening up there? I can determine God ain't in control in the earth. Look what's going on. I know where God's in control, and it's running great. And I know where God's not in control, and it ain't running right. It's obvious to see. But I will just say this. There are many Christians and many ministers that definitely do not have the spirit of seeing and knowing anything. All they do, and I feel sad for them, because I'm not telling they're bad people, but they just keep carrying on a thing that ain't working. This Christianity they got don't work for people. It don't help people overcome, but they keep preaching the same stuff. It's like, get over it. I mean, when I was 11 years old, I finally got smart enough to know that what they were preaching me in church was a bunch of bunk and junk. My God, 11 years old, I can't imagine adults sitting places and listen to the idiocy. You know, listen to it. My, we ought to at least wake up and say, hey, hold, this God we got don't make any sense. He's running everything, but everything's falling apart. Well, then if everything's falling apart, he ain't as good as he said he was. I want you to know God is as good as he says he is. But God's not controlling everything. We're not some robots walking down around here and he just pushes a button and you have to do this. And you know, people say, well, God made me do this or made me do that. That's a bunch of bunk and junk. God made me. And so people get over what God made them do, and God didn't make them do anything. Hallelujah. We have choices. In one sense, God's unlimited in power and can do anything. It's also true that He has placed some limitations on His operations. We know this is one thing. God said it's impossible for Him to lie, so He laid a limitation on Himself. He's not allowed to lie. He has a limitation He laid on Himself. So He doesn't do everything like people say. Oh, He can do anything. No, He can't. We need to know that God cannot be tempted with evil. It's an impossibility. There's limitations that are laid. In other words, in His kingdom, evil never comes from God. God's not in the evil business, nor can He be tempted by evil. He's not in that business. He's laid down some guidelines on how He operates. Now, God is, they have used these terms as omnipotent, or we would say He's all-powerful. The Bible says that. God is sovereign. But we need to understand the fact that God has chosen to limit Himself in His omnipotency or His all-powerfulness in the areas concerning His sovereignty. He has limited Himself in His dealing with man. And we need to we'll have to understand this. Why? It's because God, when He created this earth, He gave the authority of the earth to man. He no longer holds that. The gaining that God gained back concerning man through Jesus Christ, Jesus came down and won the victory back to man. But man must take that and operate in it in the earth. God will not step across the authority line in your life. He will not go beyond your authority for you to do something without your permission. He never does. Why would the Bible tell us to pray if God does whatever He wants? See, it's the thing is, I used to think was crazy in church. They'd tell us, you need to pray. And then they'd say, God does whatever He wants to do. Well, what's the point of praying? You know? They'd say, oh, always ask God. You know, if you get sick, ask God to heal you. But then He might want you sick. That's His will. Well, that's His will. What? This is the most confusing thing. He's trying to kill me, and I'm supposed to pray and ask Him to make me well while He's trying to kill me. It's like, this is nonsense. And adults sit there and say, oh, what a wonderful God we have. And I was a kid in church thinking, this is the most ridiculous stuff I've ever heard in my life. They preach a schizophrenic God. A God who is worse than the devil. The devil's bad all the time, so I at least know what to expect of him. But you never knew what to expect out of God. He was insane. And, you know, that's the way they portrayed Him. But it wasn't true. It's not what He was. Man tried to take all of his abilities and his authority that God gave him and put it over into the hands of God and say, no, God, you control all of that. And God didn't. Just because we want to put it in His hands, He don't take it. You know, I've learned this a long time ago. Why somebody wants to put their responsibility in my hand, I learned a long time ago, I don't take it. God doesn't take it either. He doesn't do that. I can't take my responsibility and say, God, you take care of this for me, what is required for me to take care of. We need to understand that in dealing with God, because we're dealing in lines of jurisdiction. You know, God's actual power or His inherent power. If we talk about God's inherent power, we talk about God's all His powerfulness, His omniscience, but also His omnipresence. In other words, God is continually, He's present everywhere. He is all this. This is what He is. He's also omniscient. He knows everything. Now, He has that, but He operates in this realm with limits that He established. Even though He has these abilities, He does not operate with us in that manner. In other words, we talk about, you know, how many of you want a dictatorship in this country? Well, why? That's all Christians want in Christianity. They want a dictator. God that does everything, takes care. God's not a dictator. But all the Christians want a dictator. God's not a dictator. He proved He wasn't a dictator the day that He created man and said, look, I'm turning everything over here in this earth. You guys are going to run it. He's not a dictator. See, everybody wants. That's why in America, that's why we're in a shape we're in, because the church preached a dictatorship and they turned our government into a thing. You take care of everything. We're going to sit back. You run it all. Why? Because lazy people don't want to take their authority and do anything. God does not have a kingdom of laziness. You are not going to go to heaven one day and lay back and some angel standing over you with a palm leaf, you know, waving it over you, and you know that ain't going to happen. That heaven isn't like that. Heaven's a productive place. Loads of people are going to be shocked when they get to heaven, when they found out there's not a welfare system. You know, when they find out what it's like being in heaven. Something's expected of me? What is this business? I was always told nothing was going to be expected of me. I'm on the ground there, be weighted hand on foot. No, God is a God who developed people to serve, and in heaven you'll serve. You're going to serve. If you don't like serving, stay out of Christianity. I'm sorry. You know, maybe join the Muslim religion and you can go and get, you know, how many virgins. You know, go blow yourself up and get a bunch of virgins or something. But our God don't do that. If God works in us in service in the earth, I can guarantee you that's the way the kingdom operates. That's what's going to be on the other side. You know, preachers don't quit preaching because they go to heaven. Gifts and callings of God are out repentance. I'm going to tell you what, I'll teach when I get to heaven. It don't stop. See, people got this weird idea about what we step across into and what we have, what we do. They got these weird ideas. Hallelujah. This is why you want to learn it on operate on this side. When you get there, you ain't going to have to go to school from first grade on. Most Christians, I'm just going to tell you this as a fact, most Christians that go to heaven start from the beginning and have to be taught completely. Because they won't learn here. They won't learn here. So you want to learn here. This is the wonderful opportunity. When you step across in the other side, you ain't the dumbest guy in the class. I used to be years ago. I was one of those guys. I'm not anymore. I'm going to tell you what. I want to learn here. I want to understand. I will learn how to operate in the kingdom. I want to know about the kingdom now. I want to understand its function now. I don't want to put it off to a time out in the future somewhere, you know, far away. You know, we need to understand the fact that we can limit God in our lives by walking outside of His jurisdiction, especially in the areas of our actions, the things that we do. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia and listed about the works of the flesh. We're supposed to be doing that stuff. We do those things. It puts us outside the jurisdiction of God. And God can't bless people. You need to understand. A lot of people are ignorant. They're praying for, you know, somebody, you know, is doing something wrong. And they keep praying for that individual for God to bless them. But the person's still doing it wrong. God can't. Not until they get back in the jurisdiction of God. God, if God blesses them, God's not like people. See, if we get a guy that refuses to work today, instead of turn around and do what the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. What we do is our society goes as much as they can to try to help them and pay their bills and do stuff for them. If they don't want to go, we're trying to do all this stuff for people. God don't operate that way. Why? Because what it does is it teaches the person this. Why change? Parents do it all the time to their kids. Their kids do wrong and they just continually reward them. Continually reward them in the wrongdoing. And wonder why they keep heading in the direction they are. Because they've been enforced in it. I can get blessed without it doing things wrong. I can be in the wrong jurisdiction doing the wrong, and I don't have any accountability. God will teach people accountability. God will limit what He will do for people. In Psalm 78:41, it says this concerning Israel, and it deals with Israel and all the trouble they got into. In verse 41 says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited what God could do for them. We can limit God. I don't care how powerful God is, the things that I do can limit what He can do for me. Folks, this is not a bad thing. This is a wonderful thing. If you want, I'm not teaching you something. The bad thing is about it is to keep doing the wrong stuff and end up with nothing. End up with nothing but trouble. I mean, I lived for 31 years on the other end of the stick, man. I know what it is. I'm on this side now, and I found out God, you know, God wants people to have disciplined lives. He wants people, because a disciplined life is not something about me missing out on something. It's from the standpoint of something good. It's from me missing out on something bad. You're going to reap what you sow. Understand that. It does not say in there, if you're a Christian and you're born again, you don't get to reap what you sow. No, the Bible says, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. The church has mocked God and said, no, we got grace, that isn't for us. They have mocked God, and we wonder why God doesn't show up like we'd like Him to show up. He can't. We keep tempting Him. We tempt Him by disobedience, saying, no, I can live like hell and still get blessed. And the church world's teaching that today. Oh, it don't matter what you do. I mean, you can be any old pervert you want. You can be a preacher. You can be anything you want. You can live any kind of lifestyle you want. And it's all okay. Because God loves you. Hell is everybody that's in hell today. God loved them. But they're still in hell. It changes not. You think God didn't like Adolf Hitler? He hated him? Say, well, he did bad things. I'm going to tell you what. Galatians tells you what the bad things are. And loads of the Christians are doing it today, the bad stuff. And don't expect to have anything happen back. They think that I can go over into the jurisdiction of Satan and go over there and live by the flesh, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Because God loves me. See, we got to get preaching the right gospel to people. We got to get preaching the right gospel to people. The one that's in the Bible anyhow. Because it's not being preached to people. It's making people think God's so good, he'll let anything run rampant. He don't care. But we see it today in our homes and everything else, because the homes are running rampant with craziness and stuff and things going on. I just sometimes sit down, you know, go online and read things that are happening. It's like, my God, are people out here nuts? They're insane. They're crazy on the things that they're doing. Israel's rebellion against God limited God's jurisdiction over them. God couldn't bless them in what they were doing. I want us to go over and go to Luke to the 15th chapter. I want us to go to Luke to the 15th chapter. I want to read you today. We're going to read the parable of the prodigal son, and I'm going to teach you some things that is not taught about the prodigal son. There's only basically one lesson that people teach out of the prodigal son, and people miss the major importance. God gave me a revelation years ago, probably a good 25 years ago. I was reading this in the Bible, and the Lord began to show me and teach me back then these things, and started to show me this stuff concerning the prodigal son. And because all the people say, oh, well, God's forgiveness. Yes, God's forgiveness is wonderful. But the major important things that it taught was about God's blessing, who can have it and who can't. This is about, look, it's a parable about the kingdom of God. This father in this parable represents God. These two sons represent his children and how God deals with them. I wish I could get the church today, and even you folks, to get a hold of this. I've learned how to deal with my children reading these things. Most people don't. Most people deal with their kids no matter what hellions they are, they're still a blessing. You don't act like God, you will not have the blessing of God. It'll cost you every time you do it wrong, it will cost you. And it will cost you into your future, because you'll generate, really, around in your own family, trouble. And you just keep generating it and generating it. After a while, nothing ever changed, and you got to live under the hell all the time, praying for kids to straighten out who ain't going to straighten out, because we're teaching them to not straighten out. And you must get a hold of this. Now, is this you got to get, because I've watched, you know, Kenneth Hagin. I heard him back when I first got born again. There was a tape I had. He was teaching on the air. He's talking about faith, but he was talking about doing what the Word of God said. And he made this statement. He said, Any of the churches, he said, that I pastored, he said, I could always tell the outcome of what was going to happen to people's family and their kids. I could always tell you the outcome of them. And he said, not because I'm a prophet. He said, I just watched what the parents did concerning the Word of God, if they honored it or not. And he said, I could tell you what was going to happen. He said, I was right 100% of the time. And I thought, well, I'm new to the kingdom. I have one daughter and the other one was just born. I got born again in January and March she is born. I thought, I better start getting some of this right. I want to find out how God does things. I want to know what He does. Because I want my kids to have a good future. I want to set a future for my children that's right. See, I want to do what's right. And I began, that was one of the big things to me, began a search of, I want to know what to do that's right. And here we have in this parable, if we look down at Luke 15 and verse 11, it says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring a fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, we do want the fact, this does show the fact that if we mess up, we can come back to God. Hallelujah. Thank God we can. But I want you to understand what it means to come back to God. This is the picture of what true repentance is. Not what people use today. This is true repentance. See, the whole thing of it is, Jesus told this parable. This parable was to illustrate how the kingdom works. Anybody preaching today say you don't have to ask for forgiveness is just a downright liar. You don't need to repent. You don't need to do that. Your sins are all taken care of. You can just go on. What's Jesus talking about then? What illustration? Well, do we throw Jesus' teachings out? I guess they don't count for us, do they? Who do they count for? We need to understand this, but this is a thing of repentance. You need to see this. It's one of the first things as the Lord showed me. When the Son took the blessing of God in his life and went out to live any old way he want, did God go out after him? Did God go out there? Did God go out there when he started to be in want? Oh, no, we're going to take care of this. Did he write a letter home and say, Dad, I'm in hurt out here. Would you please send me a check? Oh, yeah, we got to help our kids, you know. They're living like hell. Write them a check. Because they're going to squander that one too. And you just taught them, I'll take care of you no any old way you live. Because I love you. God didn't chase after him. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't, by the Holy Spirit, you know, understand, this guy knew what was right in his own heart. He knew what was right to do. He knew the whole time what was right. He wasn't doing it. But he was out there, really. He was out there doing his thing. It wasn't till he repented. And you can see the heart of repentance. His sin, he saw that himself, that he wasn't even worthy to be taken back as a son. In other words, repentance looks at how severe sin is. Do you understand how severe sin is? Most Christians have no clue how severe sin is. See, we have a picture here of a son who realized how severe sin was. He understood the severity of his problem and what he was in. He understood this, that by his deeds, he had no right to go back and ask for a thing. You know, God may have opened up us the door. You understand, God blessed us, but God didn't bless us because we deserved anything. Today, the blessing of God is treated so frivolously in that stuff that people get into sin and think they still deserve the blessing. Why? Because they don't think sin's no big deal. You know, I don't have to worry about it. You know, it's no big deal. Sin's a huge deal. It's an enormous deal. This guy, understand, the father did not run to him till he turned and headed back. The father didn't go out there. You need to understand this. People need to make a turn back. You know, it's like a minister. Some years ago, I attended a ministerial conference. There was most all ministers there. And the minister made this statement. He said, you pastors out there, he said, you keep teaching people and talking to them about the reason they're sick. You know, they just need to believe God and have faith. He said, I want you to tell them a lot of them are sick because of their sin. And if they don't get their sin straightened out, they're going to stay sick. See, we don't want to hear that kind of stuff. We just I want a positive message so I can stay in sin positively and still get a blessing. It's not the way it works. It's not, the blessing did not go over into Satan's jurisdiction. The blessing's in the kingdom. The blessing is in the kingdom, and you got to come back to the kingdom. It's like a person told me that, you know, like a woman said she's born again. She's a child of God. She's living with a man. She said, I know that I shouldn't be living with this guy. I know it's wrong as a Christian to live with him. But I ask God to forgive me every day. Well, that's an absolutely worthless thing to do. She can ask God every day to forgive her. He ain't going to forgive her. Why? She's never repented. Repentance means to turn around and head a different direction. She's going to stay in the same direction and say, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. Well, God can't bless her. My God, she ought to be just glad she's still breathing. That the devil ain't killed her yet. See, people, we have this crazy Christianity today that has this, I ask God to forgive me. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible tells us, we read 1 John 1:9, people don't read from the beginning of the chapter. It says, if I walk in darkness and I say I'm all right, I'm lying and do not the truth. If I'm over living in sin, I got to leave sin to repent. You can't stay in the sin and repent. The young man, he could not stay in that land, living in that land, and repent. He had to come to leave that land to repent. He had to leave the land. And then what happens when he came back to the land? He got blessed! But you don't get blessed till you get back to the land. That's the way it works. You got to get back in the land. You know, that's why everybody in the United States, when they go to other countries and get trouble, they want to get the consulate to get me back to America. I'm over here, I'm in trouble. You go down to Mexico and get in trouble, and you'll say, get me out of here, get me back to the land. The church has lied and taught frauds concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and we've been told you can live in the kingdom of Satan and God will still bless you. It's nothing but lies. I'm going to tell you what, when I found out the blessings in the kingdom, I want to stay over in the kingdom. I want to walk over here. Why? Keep Ed out of trouble. Dear God, I don't need to cause myself no more trouble. I tell you, I've done enough of that. Stay in the kingdom. Walk in the light of the Word of God. You'll stay in the kingdom. If you believe these people out here today and all this crazy stuff taught about grace, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Grace, no matter how much grace God has for you, the grace is in the kingdom. The grace is not in the world. In the world system, the world system has no grace to give you. You go over and play in the world system and you can only have what the world system has. That's what you got. And see, that's why today there's so much of a mix-up into these things. It's heartbreaking. When you see these things, when you see this stuff going on and all these things that are happening. See, that son, he forfeited the father's blessing and the wisdom the father had given him. He forfeited that when he left. That was his. What did the world do to his blessing? It ended up squandered. It ended up going into nothing. I've watched Christians do that. I've watched Christians. God come in the kingdom. God blesses their lives. They do things. The next thing you know, they're out living like hell again. And you watch it. They squander every bit of wisdom and blessing God's given them. And before you know it, they're on the bottom of the totem pole again. That's where they're at. Some people never learn that. They just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. He lost his inheritance. He didn't lose his sonship. He lost his inheritance. He lost the blessing. Now, if you just want to make it to heaven, you can. But I'm going to tell you what, you can have real hell here in this earth before you get to heaven. But understand, that is not God's intent. That's why religion does. People live like hell, and then they turn around, their lives are all messed up, and then they'll try to, well, God's just putting me through things. They start a new religion up. It's because they're outside the kingdom. Instead of admitting, I'm wrong, I've done wrong, I've brought this on me. No, this is God's plan for my life. You know, I'm just not supposed to have any money. I'm supposed to be sick and poor. I'm supposed to be something else, you know. They'll make up themselves a nice little religion to compensate for their own problems of what they won't deal with. When he repented and came home, repentance was this. Repentance brought him back to the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. That's what repentance did. Repentance is our vehicle to the kingdom of God, is back in. See, when you're over in the devil's kingdom and you're over there messing around doing stuff, you want to get on the first repentance bus that crosses the border back into the kingdom of God. That's your passport. You'll have the passport. Repentance is really your passport into the kingdom. If you don't make true repentance, you ain't getting back. You just say, God, forgive me, but I'm going to stay over here and do this. You never got on the bus. You ain't going back over. True repentance. God, I missed it. I'm leaving this, what I'm doing, and I'm coming back to do what's right. Coming back over here to follow what's right. I've been wrong, Lord God. Repentance is admitting, Lord, I blew it. That's why 1 John 1:9 says, what are you supposed to do? Confess your sin. Well, that word confess means to admit. Admit what you did wrong. This man admitted what he did wrong. Most people will never admit they did wrong and say they asked God to forgive them. You wasted your time. He told you, you got to admit you were wrong. See, you've listened to too much wrong preaching. He said, you confess your sin. He didn't ask you, say, ask me to forgive you. He said, you got to admit you did wrong. I don't want to do that. I ain't ever wrong. I ain't going to admit I was wrong. Oh, no. Well, then you're going to stay in the devil's hands. And you can say, God, forgive me every day, every time you think about it. And it's a worthless cause. He said, you confess your sin. You admit what you did. You admit what you did wrong. You say, yes, Lord God, my thing that I'm doing over here is wrong. It's sin. It's S-I-N. It's not a problem, Lord. It's called sin. Lord, I don't have a problem. My trouble is my sin. See, most people say, oh, would you pray for me, Pastor? I have a problem. No, you don't. You got a sin. And that's why you have problems. I found this out. Ed's problems changed a lot when he got out of sin. You get back over to the kingdom of God, you got blessing. This is what, it's not to hurt you or to harm you. God wants you to stay over in the kingdom of His blessing, over in His jurisdiction where He can continually bless you. That's what He wants to do. He wants to continually bless you. That's His intent. Can you imagine when it breaks His heart? You know, just as a parent, a child strays off. Don't that break your heart? You know, God ain't sitting up there and saying, I want to get that scoundrel. He's not thinking that way. But God wants people back in the kingdom, because no matter how much he wants to, he can't chase you out there and bless you. The devil is going to say to him, hey, hold it, hold it. You're a rule breaker. You step into a kingdom that's not yours, and you come over here in spite of what your guys do, and you throw a blessing on them when they deserve a curse. You're a lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker. God can't be a lawbreaker. If he is, he ain't nothing but the devil. See, we think God does anything he wants. He goes, breaks the law. No, he can't. God will honor the laws of men, because they put up roadblocks for God through their laws. He'll back off from it. God's not a lawbreaker. He doesn't usurp authority over people. He's not at all like man thought he was. If they'd only read the Bible. See, God blesses us in his jurisdiction. That's why he wants, that's why he pleads with us. That's why he wrote these things in there, to keep us in his jurisdiction. Why? Because that's the number one thing God loves to do. If anything God loves to do, he loves to bless people. That's what he wants to do. He wants to bless. Now listen to this. In James 4 and verse 7, James 4, 7. I'm going to read 7 and 8. But it says, therefore, this is what James wrote. He said, therefore, what are we supposed to do? Submit to God. Submission to God. First, then what? Resist the devil, then he'll flee. Most people are trying to get rid of the devil in their life, and they are not submitted to God's kingdom. Submission to God is being in God's jurisdiction. If you're not in submission to God's plan and purpose, God's will for you, then you can't be in his jurisdiction. You can't tell the devil to leave you alone if you are not in God's jurisdiction. That's why the blessing came immediately on the son when he returned. When he returned home. The blessing didn't come on him when he was still out there saying, I know what I need to do right. I know I need to go home and confess it. Until he went and did it. Then the blessing came. And so we need to understand this. We need to submit to God. If I'm in submission to God, I'm in submission to his jurisdiction. I can, in that jurisdiction, if you are walking in God's jurisdiction, you're following the plan of God, you're walking, doing God's, if the devil comes along to you, you can tell him to go and he has to go. He can't stay around. He can't do his stuff. I've had many times things or something come on me. Sometimes, you know, I've been attacked with sickness or something tried to come on me. And I'd say, Lord, have I missed it anywhere or done anything? I need to repent. I need to do. How many of you do that? Most people just immediately, oh, God, heal me. No, I learned a long time ago. God, if I missed it, I want to make sure that I haven't got into a place where the devil's allowed to do something to me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to cross the border. And I just say, God, if I've done something, let me know. And I'll repent. Why? If I did something wrong and I repent, I turn from it, I qualify. I know this. I'm back in the, I'm in the kingdom, what the kingdom has. If I say something to the Lord, if I missed it and I don't know where I missed it, I say, ask him. He don't say anything, then I just, okay, then healing belongs to me and I take a hold of it. Because what I want to make sure, I've watched people do this. They stand for years in the areas of faith and nothing ever works. I've watched people do it for years and years. I have never had anything could just stay on me and not change. I've never had such a thing happen. When people say about doing it, I don't know what it is. I've never learned God's healing that way. I didn't ever learn God's healing where things could stay on me for 20 years and it could never get off. But I'm believing for healing. I know nothing about that. I don't have any clue what people are talking about when they do that. I have no clue. God ain't different for Ed. But it's what people don't realize. We do things sometimes, and what people think, just because I'm believing for healing, that it doesn't matter anything else that I'm doing around me. I have faith for this. It's going to work. Well, no, it's not. That ain't the way it works. You know? Why would people think that's the way it works? I mean, I can just pick this one thing out, and I can just have that, and the rest of it don't matter. It don't work that way. And so we need to grab a hold of it. Now listen what he says here, and you're going to see, because in the parable we find out that James is on the same page as Jesus. Verse 8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What do we do? Who draws near to God? We do. We do the drawing near to God first. Then who draws near to us? God. It's like getting born again. Holy Spirit will draw you to God, but you got to go to God. God won't come to you till you go to Him. He doesn't operate that way. That's not the way the kingdom works. God sent Jesus, and through sending Jesus was to deal with the sin problem. We still got to go to God. We draw near to God. That's what we do. We submit to God. We draw near, drawing near. Just like that picture, we can go over there and see. Well, it's the same picture. When the Son started getting near, He started drawing near to get near the Father. What did the Father do? The Father went to Him. When did the Father go to Him? In the pig pen? No! He didn't go to Him in the pig pen. See, we know, if you don't understand these things, you're going to wonder why when you pray, God don't talk to you about certain things. He's not going to. God has a way of operation. You have to understand it. If you want to get God to talk to you, you've got to be flowing the way God flows. This is why a lot of people don't understand. And I feel bad for people because they haven't been taught. There's no use God talking to me out there in a pig pen if I know I'm supposed to get straight and go on. What do I need to do? I've had this happen to me a number of times over the years, praying for individuals who are in problems, praying concerning them, and the Lord would speak to me and said, you don't need to pray for them about that anymore. They know what to do and they refuse to do it. And He said, don't bother praying about that anymore. There's no use praying for somebody that knows what's going on. You're wasting prayer time. If you know to do good and do it not, it's called sin. I have never went to any of those people and asked them what they do. If they thought it was right, they always knew. Yeah, they knew it was wrong. They knew it was sin. But they aren't dealing with it. God can't step over the boundaries and say, look, against that person's will, I'm going to do good for him, no matter what. God may cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, but I'm going to tell you, the unjust don't get all the other good stuff. Don't you ever think so. He said the rain. He didn't say all them spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus, did He? No, He didn't. Thank God. God is a good and a wonderful God. But God is just in His actions. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more pagan to me than watch a bad child treated like the good child. There's nothing more evil to me to watch when parents have a good child and we give them both the same. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's devilish and evil. See, this is where people come in the kingdom. They think they can have the blessing of God just like the person who walks righteously and holy. The person who walks righteously and holy, if God is going to do more for them, and if He did, if I go to all the trouble to walk right and God will give the guy that lives like hell the same as I got, I'm going to tell you, I ain't serving Him. He's nothing righteous nor holy about Him. There's nothing righteous or holy. See, we sit around and complain about what our government does, yet most of Christianity believes our government is the way the kingdom operates. That God is unjust and unholy, just taking care of people and their messes, and He's out here treating the guy who does lousy, you know, He's getting as good as the guy who don't. That's not the way it is. God is just and He's righteous. The person who walks right there, it pays. I want to tell you folks, it pays great benefits to walk righteously. The benefits are huge. They're enormous. One thing you can do is you can lay your head down at night. I don't go to bed worrying about nothing. I can lay my head down at night and I can go to sleep and I'm not worried about a thing. I don't lay awake at night. The only thing is I wake up sometimes to pray. I may wake up at night and sometimes I just get wide awake. I lay there sleeping all of a sudden wide awake. I don't wake up because, oh my God, my mind's bothering me and all things that are going on. Things are going on. If God can't take care of them, ain't no use Ed staying up worried about it. He might as well go to sleep, huh? You know? I wake up and pray at night. But you don't lay there and wring your hands and you worry about it. Folks, I didn't do that in the world. And it's not, Christians aren't supposed to be having those problems. We're not supposed to be worried and wringing our hands about things and not be, folks, that's getting my mind over there in Satan's kingdom where he can play with me. And if he can take me to a place to play with me, he'll own me. If Satan can control your mind, he'll control you. You don't let him take you there. You say, oh, we ain't going there. I'm in the kingdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. Glory. That's what the Bible says. We have the mind of Christ. I mean, take it, folks. It said we have it. Quit saying about all those other things you've been saying. I don't care what doctors and scientists have said. I've gotten more help confessing the word than by any doctor I ever went to, and I ain't got nothing against doctors. But I'll tell you, the word has been life. The word is life. Hallelujah. And we got the Holy Ghost inside of us, who is the one who reveals the word. And yet, when you're walking in the word, you're walking in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You and the Holy Ghost are a team. If I got, if anybody could overtake the Holy Ghost, let me know who that would be. I got to meet that one. Hallelujah. You're walking in the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, you're over there in the Word of God. You're in the jurisdiction of God. And whatever comes upon you or happens to you, don't you worry a lick. God's blessing is for you. Take it. Hallelujah. It belongs to you. When you're walking in God's jurisdiction, I want you to understand this. There's nothing, there's no limits on what you could ask God for that He would not give you. Most of you has done what I used to do. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He said, our heavenly bank account, God has filled it with every blessing you can think of. And he said, we keep writing these little checks out. We don't take what's ours. When you're walking in the kingdom, you're walking in God's jurisdiction, you can't ask big enough. In the jurisdiction is the place where every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In that jurisdiction, I won't have time to go into it today. We'll talk about where the other brother missed it. Most people think he missed it. I'll show you really, truly where he missed it. That he didn't understand. It's not taught what he didn't really understand. Everybody said, well, it's his unforgiveness. It wasn't unforgiveness. That wasn't what the guy was dealing with. He wasn't dealing with the unforgiveness thing toward his brother. It wasn't none of that stuff. He didn't understand some things, and he was in the kingdom. It's like most Christians today are sitting in the kingdom, don't know what they got and what belongs to them. They don't know what they have. I want you to see something that concerning this young man who was out there messed up. Let me just say this to you, what the father said. This was God's view of one of his sons living in the world. In verse 24 of Luke 15, he said this, for this my son was dead. Do you notice he said my son was dead? A Christian living in the world is dead to God. They're in the camp of dead. You're living in the world and living under the world system, you're in the camp of dead. Now his son wasn't, he couldn't have been talking about physical death. His son never physically died. His son was living in the land of spiritual death. And to God he was dead. It ain't he comes to the camp of life, can God bless him? If God will bless a Christian who will live like hell, then he is wholly required to bless every sinner that lives like hell. If he don't, he is neither just nor righteous. Paul wrote to Timothy, to the church at Corinth, and told them that God didn't want them judged like the world. That's what happened to them when they fell under judgment, when they weren't walking in love with one another in the church concerning communion. He said, many are weak, many are sick, die prematurely because what? They're under judgment. They got themselves in Satan's kingdom, got in the land of death, and that spiritual death worked physical death in them. They died. Sometimes we wonder why people die. There's some people die because they're over in the areas of spiritual death. And the outcome of it is it will work over in the areas and they'll physically die. He said, this son of mine was dead. And what now? What did he talk about? Now what is he? He's alive again. He came back to the place of life. This is the difference. The world system's the place of spiritual death. The kingdom of God is spiritual life. Stay in the jurisdiction of the kingdom. That's life. That's life. You know, Mike was teaching last year about the glory and the Holy Ghost in you and all that stuff. The down payment that was made by the Holy Ghost living you, the Holy Ghost inside of you, is the reminder to you that you and I, before we get this new body, that all the blessing of inheritance belongs to us. The new body's ours, but healing belongs to us right now. That's the down, healing is one of the down payments that we have of proof. Physical healing today is a proof that God is going to give us a resurrected body. Why don't you want to act in line with that? You know, a sound mind is proof that God wants, is going to give you a new body. That's going to have, you know, that new body's going to have a brain in it. You think it's going to be some dead vegetable like we've been running with? That's proof. But I want to tell you what, that's why we have the mind of Christ today. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ in us today. It's the proof in us. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, in these last days, the Spirit is talking about the Spirit of seeing and knowing. The Spirit of seeing and knowing. God is revealing. God showing Himself and revealing Himself in the air to show people His goodness, His blessing. God wants you to, you know, say, you know, to stay away from this, from getting over into the kingdom of Satan, from walking over in those things. He's trying to tell people, you need to be honest to people. Today we're not honest about the thing. There's people don't talk about. There's no hell. I go to funerals today and go to people's funerals and things. There's funerals that I do, but there's, I go to sometimes other people's funerals, and nobody, no minister ever talks like there's any kind of hell that anything. Everybody goes to heaven. Biggest lie on the face of the earth. Deceivers out here making everybody think that they're all right when they're not all right, when things aren't all right. Deceivers, and call themselves ministers. Oh, well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm going to tell you, what are people going to cry out in hell? I will tell you this, there's ministers are going to end up in hell, and they're in hell, they're going to face the people that they told them wouldn't tell them there was a hell. I will guarantee you. And when the people see them, it's one book I had about a woman got caught up to heaven. She was showed by an angel, really a type of what hell was like. And you know one of the things it was? The people were railing at the ministers for lying to them. They were in hell with them there. They were railing at them. I'm going to tell you what, we got Spirit-filled ministers today. They were born again, but they don't walk right nor light nor preach what's right. And I want to tell you, people will stand in hell in their face, because they will be there if they don't repent before they die. And they will be there. We're not going to send people off to hell and we end up in heaven. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin, he said that many of my people are not going to be ready for me at my coming. He didn't say some, he said many. Many of my people ain't going to be ready. I'm going to tell you, this boy's going to be ready. I believe the truth. God didn't tell me these things to hurt Ed or to cramp my style. I couldn't have fun. This is the best life I have ever had. I don't understand why people want to live something different. It is beyond me why some people want to do something other than what the Word says. It goes beyond me. Look, I've tried to stretch some of this stuff already. And it don't pay. Grace is so darn good. What do we want to turn it into something else for? To make it into some sloppy mess? To justify wrongdoing. You'll find out Hebrews 1:9 tells us why Jesus was blessed. And it's the same way you get blessed. It's the same, it's no different. Why Jesus was blessed. Understand, Jesus in the earth was operating as a man. He was not operating as God. He did nothing as God, because if he did, then he's not your representative. He can't be. The only thing that could spare you and I from hell was a man had to die for us, and he came and became a man. I mean, our Lord was absolutely marvelous. He was outstanding. How, you know, he laid aside all the glories and his power of heaven, came down here, lived like a man to redeem us. In Hebrews 1:9 says this, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. See, he loved righteousness. That's God. Righteousness is God's jurisdiction. What did he do? He hated lawlessness. He hated Satan's jurisdiction. You got to learn to hate Satan's jurisdiction. We don't hate people. I don't hate people or in them. I don't care what people do in the inner sin. I don't hate them. But I hate the sin, and I hate what sin does. Sin destroys people. Anybody preaches this message that you can go ahead and cuddle up to sin and it's all right, you don't have to repent, that's just downright as evil and devilish as you can get. You don't get more evil than that. Why? Because it's a love for sin. Then they'll tell you, we want to be like Jesus. You can't love sin and be like Jesus, because you'll be in the devil's territory and he has a right to you. You've got to learn to hate lawlessness. Sin's lawlessness. We got to go to the place, we hate it. We got to tell people the truth. You can't live lawlessly and end up where you want to be. That's crazy to tell people, to give people the idea, a Christian, just live any way you want, you'll end up where you want to be. Like tell them, say, yeah, get out here, any direction you take to drive, you'll end up, you know, in Wisconsin. Well, now that people say, well, that's crazy. Why? That's what the church preaches. Just go any old direction you want to go and you'll end up in heaven. Like, come on, people. You know, get your car and cross the Mexican border and drive down, you know, to, you know, Bolivia somewhere. But you'll reach Wisconsin, don't worry. Don't worry, you'll get to Wisconsin. Jesus stayed within the boundaries of God's perfect will. That's what he did. He did that. It's number one, he did that. And then he died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. What? For our justification. He went on high, took his blood into the holies of holies, put his blood on the holies of holies. He did that to empower anybody who believed on him that you and I could love righteousness and we could hate lawlessness and live within the jurisdiction of God's kingdom and have all the blessings. And I want you to get a hold of, I said it before, but I want you to get a hold of the fact, if you are within the jurisdictions, and you're walking within the jurisdiction of God's kingdom, you can ask anything in the name of Jesus, and the Father will give it to you. I'm serious. I am absolutely serious. It took me a long time to grab a hold of that. You know, I had my own little ifs and ands and buts about things and what I had to do, but I realized after a while. I first realized it concerning healing. When I'm inside the kingdom, and I'm walking within the jurisdiction of things of the kingdom, I need to be bold as a lion. Anything tries to come on me, put the brakes on it right away. Say, devil, you ain't putting nothing on me. Sickness and disease, you got to leave this body. You ain't messing with me. I had to turn. God started to deal with me. Then over time, he always bring that over to the areas of finances. Get over there, you can ask anything. But you got number one, you can't be over there planning things that are killing your finances or killing your health. You can't be over there planning. Now, I'm not talking about all this the diet stuff today. I'm not talking about that. You know, we got this thing today as holiness is how you eat and all this kind of stuff and things, and that ain't where it's at, folks. We got to get over the areas. That doesn't mean you do something dumb to destroy your own health. I mean, that's stupid. You know, I'm not, you know, talking about, you know, this crazy grace. But, you know, you walk within the kingdom, and I'm going to tell you, you can believe God. And that's your place where you can stand, and you can ask anything according to his will, he'll give it to you. You can ask anything. You got to come to, this is why, this God doesn't want you to follow his principles or follow the things of his kingdom. He's not asking you to do that, you know, because he wants restrictions on you. What he wants is no restrictions concerning the blessing. He wants no restriction on you concerning blessing, that you can have anything. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to do. He wants you non-restricted when it comes to the blessing, that anything that you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll do it for you. That's what he wants. That's why you and I are to walk into jurisdictions. That's why we're supposed to tell others. We need to let people know, honestly. You know, people have come to me over the years and asked me to pray for them about things. And I'm talking about people who sometimes were Christians and non-Christians. I knew what they were doing in their life. And I'd say, I'm sorry, I waste my time praying for you to get blessed when you know you don't live a right life and you don't do right and you head off in this direction. You know, you need to get your life right with God to get right. See, I'm not going to leave you under the impression I'm going to ask God for and he's going to fix you while you go out here and just live like hell. I'm perpetrating a lie on people's lives. I'm not going to do that. You know, I just had a relative, you know, God nor walk with God, and they asked me to do the wedding, and I just told them I can't do that. You know, I realize it don't make good friends in the relatives, but I don't care less. I like God more than I do them. Now, I don't hate them at all or anything like that, but I'm sorry. I'm staying in the kingdom. There's a difference between me and the world and Christians living like hell. There's a difference, and there's lines I won't cross to make some people happy so they like me. The relatives don't like, they can tell it above everybody and they all tell me I'm a scoundrel. I don't care. God likes me a lot. That's what counts. You know, to be on the bottom of the barrel with my relatives don't mean much to me anyhow. You know, I don't have, hey, I'll tell you what, I got a family of God. You ask me to choose between the two, I'll kick my relatives out in a second. And if you don't learn to live there in that place, you'll never really know much about the kingdom. Good preaching. Most people are relative bound. Hallelujah. I got a family. And it's a kingdom of God. And that's the family I'm going to spend eternity with. Now the others, my relatives, they can join the club. But I'm not playing to them so they'll like me. So, well, if I don't do it, maybe they'll, if I go do their wedding anyhow, maybe they'll accept my ministry. Yeah, I watch that stuff. I've watched all that. If I do this for them, then they'll turn around and they'll really, yeah, you know what they'll do next time? They'll live like hell. Want something done, they'll call back. Same thing. Do it again. I know how it goes. I've been there. I've been that stupid. But I ain't that stupid no more. I mean, my kids could tell you I won't do it. I wouldn't do it for them. I won't. I love my wife and I love my children, but I won't cross up God to kiss up to them. You need to learn to get to that place. Because why? If you really love somebody, live for God. Because that'll be the biggest blessing that you can bring to their life. If they don't accept that blessing, ain't nothing else going to fix them. See, we have this idea today of the whole church, and it's this idea that the church runs around doing things for everybody. This is how we're going to be so nice to them. They're really going to like us. Boy, hasn't that worked out in America? Church has been dumping on them, and what's happening today in America? They're trying to throw the church out of everything. I mean, we can't even have a cross at a cemetery anymore. And it's because of the people who turn around and cater to the sinner in America. They cater to the sinner to reach the sinner. My job is, number one, to cater to God. The most important thing that God wants Ed Gibson to do is have a relationship with Him. Not even with you, with Him. If you don't have a sound relationship with God, you don't have a sound relationship with nobody else. It's all based on the flesh. If I wouldn't have gotten a hold of a sound relationship with God, I could have never loved my wife. I could have never loved my wife. I always tell you, I know this from a fact. Every time there's marriage problems, there's a spiritual problem, and it's about the people's relationship with God. Every time that I got over in a thing and something bugged me concerning Wanda, God would always deal with me about where my spirituality was. Why? Because if you do have to deal with something, you want to deal with it right. So you got to make sure you have the right attitude. Is it because they did this to me or they did that? But you just don't know what they did. Yeah, and I don't want to know. Don't tell me. You ain't supposed to run around telling what other people do anyhow. Quit gossiping. But you don't know what they did. Well, I said, you tell God about it, Ed ain't listening. Now, let's get talking about what you've been doing. Oh, we ain't going there. You don't walk in love. What, are you judging me? Been there, had that happen numbers of times. Oh, don't talk to me about my problems. Let's talk about theirs are bigger than mine. We need to talk to them about theirs. Folks, we've all been there, whether you like it or not. Like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, say amen or oh me. You may need to say oh me. Well, I just want to encourage you. I know we've said a lot of really tough things, but we need to understand. We need to come back. So one thing is why God sent the prophets to begin with, and we're going to have this in this day. You're going to have a lot of hard things that are going to be said out here for people who are going to follow God. Ministers are going to follow God. Why? Because this is what God's trying to do. Things have gotten so far off the road. God is saying extreme things to bring people back. That's why He's doing what He does. It's not to hurt anybody, because people are on the road to destruction. Christians are on the road to destruction. And some by not their own doing. They've been preached to them, they can do it. They've been preached, it's all right. They've been taught over the years, it's okay. They've been encouraged in it. And we need to start talking, getting people back. Say, back to this. Let's get back on the road again. Let's get back to where we were. I mean, there's one thing, the revivals that came in our nation. You look at the history of the revivals in our nation, and you sit down. I have sermons and stuff that people preach back in those days, a revival. And I'm going to tell you what, they would be thrown today. They wouldn't last 10 minutes in 90% of Spirit-filled churches. They'd be thrown out of for saying the things that they did. A.A. Allen got up and preached a sermon. God's a killer. Shook people up. There's parts of God. See, the true judgment, a lot of Christians don't know God in that standpoint. They don't know God will do some things. They think God, He's just this little guy up there, you know, with tight pink panties on, sitting on a throne, just, oh, real sweet and everything, tiptoe through the tulips, playing a ukulele, sitting up there on the throne, saying, everything's all right, do whatever you want. They don't know what God's like. The Bible says God, Ed's got the times where Ed had anger and wrath. I just can't imagine what it would be when God had anger and wrath. But yet the Bible tells us he does get that way. I don't think I want to visit that one. Lord, I want to know about you doing it, but I don't want to experience it. Much of humanity in this earth, whom God loves, is going to experience it. If man doesn't turn, he'll experience it. But it's a part of God today we don't want to talk about nor know. We don't know about what it says in the New Testament. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That isn't said in the Old Covenant. That was written to a church. We don't hear that a whole lot today. How many TV preachers have you turned on and they've used that scripture in the last 10 years? No, they've told you it don't matter. Just do whatever. Believe God. He'll take care of it. Send the check. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Whew. I know when Jesus came into my car back in 1989, the spring of 1989. In fact, it was March of 1989. And I'm going to tell you what. His holiness. Now, I wasn't scared like scared in your flesh. But I'm going to tell you what. It'll blow your little mind. Holiness ain't some words in a book. It's what he is. When that holiness came in the car, man, I'm going to tell you what, I thought I was going to die. I felt like I was going to die. His purity and holiness was like, whoa, what compares? There's nothing I could compare it to. There's nothing. It's like, whew, this is the most phenomenal, incredible thing. I'm driving on the road, literally thinking about jumping out of the car. I might have done it had not the Holy Spirit talked to me very loudly and said, stop it, he wants to talk to you. I'm going to tell you, all I wanted to do was run away. See, everybody thinks Jesus, Jesus showed up, he was carrying a lamb and he was barefooted. He showed up in his holiness and it about knocked me out. I have never, to this day, I could never tell anybody what it was like. It was the most phenomenal thing. And I knew what it was. It was his holiness. There's a purity about him that is absolutely the most phenomenal. Incredible. And when you talk about power, I've had the anointing on me so strong already that I could not stand it. It was painful, but it didn't match to that glory when it came in the car. It did not match to that. I wouldn't know what if he'd have walked in. Now, I'll tell you that he must have had it toned down some, or he'd have probably blown me out the door. But it was the most, I'll tell you what, it just changed me all about him and who and what he is. See, most people, they don't know, the only Jesus they know the Jesus that are written in the Gospels. The Jesus that I know is the Gospel, the Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's glorified God. Most people only know a Jesus that was a man. Most Christians, that's all they ever know. They know Jesus that was a man. My Jesus is a glorified man now, but he's all God. That's the one that I know. That's the one you need to get to know. The letters to the church was to teach us about the Jesus, not the Jesus of the Gospels. It was to teach us who Jesus is now. You need to get to know that Jesus. He's all God. Hallelujah. He's not playing games. Get to know the real Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will reveal him to you. The Holy Ghost will show you who he is. The job of Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to take what belongs to me now, not what belongs to me when I walk down here on the earth, what belongs to me now. You and I cannot walk in what he walked in this earth unless we know him like he is now. Jesus knew the Father like he was God, not like he was another man. You understand the difference what I'm talking about? See, most of us, they see Jesus as the guy walking around. No, he's not. That's not my Jesus. That's the one that was. Hallelujah. That Jesus got glorified body. He's sitting on all authority in heaven and earth belong to him now. He ain't asking the Father about anything. He's ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. And when you and I operate in his kingdom and realize the rule and reign that you and I have, if all you got is what that Jesus had when he was walking around the earth, you ain't going to rule and reign over nothing. Hallelujah. You rule and reign knowing the Jesus that's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where you're seated at. You're seated at the throne of God. You're not walking around with a Jesus in a physical body anymore. Hallelujah. Down here, walking like a man, walking under the ministry of a man. I'm going to tell you, his ministry to the world is God. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. And then when you look over at Satan's kingdom and his jurisdiction, and you look at the kingdom that we have, it's like, my God, what do I want that trash for? I got this kingdom. See, most people don't see no difference. They got Jesus, just a man, carrying a sheep, barefooted, you know. Nice little guy. Dear Lord, look what John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation. Knocked his socks off, knocked him down when he saw it. See, I could when Jesus came into my car, anybody knocked me out. I mean, it just, man, the power of God. This is the Jesus that we got. Hallelujah. That's the Jesus that I want to know. We got big problems here in our earth. And I'm going to tell you, no weenie God's going to clear it up. And believe it in some weenie little God ain't going to fix nothing. We're going to have to rise up and believe in the God that could do something. Hallelujah. The God that will operate through us. Hallelujah. I don't have to sit and whine and cry trying to convince him to do something. Hallelujah. If I'm in his jurisdiction, he'll do it because I ask. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the Jesus I want. That's the Jesus I know. And I tell you, know that Jesus. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet.